Take your Bibles, please. Open to the book of 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, 2 Samuel, chapter 14. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 370, 370. Second Samuel chapter 14, beginning with verse 24, be reading through verse 33 or to the end of the chapter. We'll read the verses responsively, and let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And the king said, "Let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. And let's pray. And Father, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for our church. And truly, these, our people, are the church. Thank you, we pray, for this place of meeting. Thank you for the time set aside for the hearing of thy word. And we pray that you'd use it to the use of our spiritual souls and our hearts, and that thou wouldst bless us today. We need to hear from thee. We need our preacher. And so we pray for thy blessing upon him, and that thou wouldst empower him. In Jesus' name, amen.
This will be an historic day in your life. We will be gone from here by 12 o'clock, before 12 o'clock. This should make the front page in the Hammond Times tomorrow. May I tell you, it is hotter up here than it is out there, and I'm not going to have a good hair day, I can tell that right now. This morning I want to talk to you on the subject, the face of the king. I want everybody in this room to just look right this way. I want you not to be talking to anybody or moving around. I want everybody still and quiet. I'm going to bring this morning something I rarely do. I'm going to bring an evangelistic sermon. I'm going to preach to the unsaved this morning. But you say, "Brother Hiles, I'm saved." All right, I want you to sit here this morning as if you'd never heard the gospel before. I want you to forget that you even know how to be saved. And I want you to just think that you've never heard the gospel. And in a little different way, I want to present the gospel to you today. I want to speak on the subject, the face of the King, our Heavenly Father. We come this morning in this place where we have seen so many wonderful, wonderful things transpire. We have seen this place overflowing at pastor school numbers of times. I remember that year we had a week-long revival meeting, and every night in pastor school we had evangelistic services. Had a baptistry right in front of me and baptized every night of pastor school. Then those many other special times. One time a bus convention. And then those 5 months we spent here. I remember that more Sunday morning when a blind man stood up and said, "I can see." A man in our blind department, been blind for many, many years. All of a sudden his eyes were opened. He ran upon this very platform here and looked at me and said, "I can see, I can see, I can see." So many wonderful blessings. Now add to those blessings this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to use this microphone right here this morning and not this one, so I'll put this one like this. Get it out of the way. Be sure you can hear me okay. Turn the treble up, please, fellas, on this one. Treble's not as high as the one on the other one, so turn the treble way up and the bass down. That's good. That's good. Thank you very much. Let me tell you a very, very interesting story this morning. Listen carefully. The entire sermon is built around a story. David had a daughter whose name was Tamar. Tamar was a beautiful, beautiful young lady. He had a son whose name was Amnon. And as it were, David's own son fell in lust after David's own daughter, Tamar. Amnon raped Tamar and sinned against her. After he had raped Tamar, David had another son whose name was Absalom. Absalom said, "I am going to kill Amnon for raping my sister." I won't go into the entire story, but it's an amazing story. Excuse me. Absalom said, "I'm going to figure out some way to connive to kill Amnon." He did so. When Absalom killed Amnon, he fled to a place called Geshur and was gone there for 3 years. May I review? David had a son whose name was Amnon. He had a beautiful daughter whose name was Tamar. Amnon, his son, raped Tamar, his daughter. Absalom said, "He'll not get by with this. He'll pay for this." Absalom murdered his own brother, Amnon, for raping his own sister, Tamar. When that happened, Absalom fled to Geshur and was gone for 3 years. I want the king to stand up over here. This is David. I want Absalom to stand up over here. Now you have the king over here, and face each other here. You have the king over here who is King David. David's son had killed David's own daughter and fled down there to Geshur. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Absalom did not know that his father wanted him back. Why, the awful thing that he had done. He had killed the daughter of David, King David, his own father also. And he had no idea that King David wanted him back. But the honest truth is, he thought that his sin was too bad. But the honest truth is that the king did want Absalom back. I'm talking today to someone who feels that God doesn't want you back. You sinned against God just like Absalom sinned against the king. You sinned against the King of Kings, and you have a hard time believing that the king could want you back. I have some good news for you this morning. The king wants you back. I said the king wants you back. You say, "Brother Howells, you don't understand what I've done. I belong to a gang. I've been a part maybe of some murder. I've been a part in some kind of attacking or assaulting women. I belong to a gang." I don't care what you've done. The king wants you back this morning. You gang members that came to church on buses, you gang busters, the king wants you back. You say, "Brother Howells, how could he want me back?" Because he's the king. That's why he wants you back. And the king loves you. But you say, "Brother Howells, I'm guilty of peddling drugs. I have sold narcotics. I've been a dope pusher. I've made money on pushing dope. How could the king want me back? I could not tell you all about why the king wants you back, but I know the king wants you back. God loves you today, and God wants you back. But you say, Brother Hiles, I have prostituted my own body for financial gain. I've sold my body in red light districts and houses of prostitution. Surely the king could not want me back. Well, if King David wanted his son back after he'd murdered his own daughter, why shouldn't a holy, just God want you back, no matter what you've done? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. I say this morning, the king wants you back up here. He wants you back. The king wants you back. The king wants you back. He wants you back. He loves you. And God wants you back. You say, Brother Hiles, you understand. I have repeatedly taken that which is not mine. I've been guilty this last week. On Oakley Street, or far from the church, one of our men, a custodian, wasn't he? A custodian in the Spanish department was working there and was coming just in the building or near the building, and some men came up and with a club or a pipe or something hit him in the back of the head. And that man was rushed to the hospital. Surgery was performed. And that man has one chance in 100 this morning of living. I don't care if those men that hit him on the back of the head, and listen to me now, look at me, they got, I think, $60 or $80 is all they got. They would kill somebody, as it were, and if he lives, he'd probably be blind, or maybe even be a vegetable. I don't care, those men, if those men this morning would walk down this aisle, and if you're here, God loves you, you walk down this aisle, and you come according to God's plan, God will take you back. But you say for the house, you don't understand. I've drunk liquor, and I've put the bottle to others' lips also. I don't care what you say, preacher, I'm a harlot. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But you say, I'm a drunkard. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You say, preacher, I've taken my own hands and taken somebody's life. I have murdered. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But you say, preacher, I've murdered my own child while yet net resting in my womb. I'm guilty of murdering my own child, my own offspring. I said, though your sins be as scarlet, the king wants you back this morning. And you can come back to the king this morning if you follow the plan I'm going to give you in a few minutes. And by the way, Absalom wanted to come back. But Absalom had no idea that the king wanted him back. Absalom, down in his heart, the Bible talks about he wanted to see the face of his father. Wake up! Wake up! He wanted to see the face of his father. And he wanted to come back. And I don't care who you are this morning. Down inside your heart, you want your sins forgiven. You may be the hardest truck driver that drives the road. And you may be the meanest man on the road. But down in your heart, you want to know your sins are forgiven. You want to know that you're God's child. You want to know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I don't care the rowdiest sailor here this morning. Though you've never been to church in years, haven't been to church in years. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Down inside the heart of everybody in this room, there's the desire to come back to the king. Enter Joab. Let me introduce you to Joab. Joab was the king's nephew. That would make Joab a cousin to Absalom. Enter Joab. Two things that Joab decided. I am going to get the king and Absalom back together. You listening? I am going to get the king and Absalom back together. Now, what must Joab do? Two things. First thing, Joab comes to the king, and he talks to the king, and makes it possible so the king will receive him back, and finds out under what conditions the king would receive him back. So Joab comes to the king and says, "Now, Your Highness, if I could get Joab to come back, or Absalom to come back, would you take him back?" All right. So now the king says, "I'll take him back." Joab comes to Absalom and says, "Absalom, do you know what? The king wants you back." And he makes it possible for the king to take him back and tells Joab that the king will take him back and brings Joab back to the king. And now then, Joab and the king are together again. Why? Because of the king? No. Why? Because what Joab did? No. Absalom did? No. But because of Joab. It was Joab who goes to the king and says, take him back. It was Joab that went to Absalom and said, now you may come back. And now they're together. Why? Because of the goodness of Absalom? Good night, no, he's a murderer. Because Absalom got baptized? Good night, no. Didn't make any difference. Absalom joined a church? That didn't make any difference. Did he take sacraments? That didn't make any difference. Did he get ashes on his head from your papa? No, that didn't make any difference. The only thing he did was come back. That's all he did. Because Joab had been to the king on behalf of Absalom and been to Absalom on behalf of the king. Would you come back over here now? Enter Jesus. The Heavenly Father. Come back over here again. The Heavenly Father. Here. And here you are, right here. Fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Created by God for fellowship and for praise and for the praise of His glory, for worship and honor and magnifying the Father in heaven. But you sinned, just like Absalom sinned, and you went away from God, just like Absalom did. Sin always separates from God. When Absalom murdered Amnon, he didn't have to be pushed away. He went away from God. And this morning, I'm talking to hundreds of people in this room. You are just like this. Here's God, and here you are. You've sinned against God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And there you stand. Many of you, here you stand this morning. Look at me, sailors. Look at me, sailors. I'm preaching to you. There you stand this morning, away from God. You're not saved. If you died today, you'd burn in hell before nighttime. Lost, on your way to hell, condemned before God, living under the condemnation of God Almighty. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't change it one bit. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. Then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And those not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. And there you stand this morning. You listen to me. You have from now to the time you die to figure out some way to get back over there, or you'll go to hell forever. You say, Brother Hiles, this is the Civic Center. Nobody ever preaches on hell down here. Oh, yes, they do. Hiles does. You say, aren't you afraid some of these folks employed here will hear you? I hope they do hear me, because they'll go to hell if they don't get saved like everybody else will. You've got to, from this moment to the time you die, listen to me up here. Listen. You've got from this moment to the time you die to get back to there. If you can get back there, praise God, you can go to heaven when you die. If you die over here separated from God, you will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Let me introduce you to my Joab. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Jesus enters. You over here. The king over here. Jesus goes to the king, just like Joab did to King David. And Jesus says, Heavenly Father, what would it take to get Absalom to come back? And the Heavenly Father tells him exactly what it would take to get Absalom to come back. What would it take for you to take him back? And the Heavenly Father says, I would have to come, my son would have to come to earth, be born of a virgin, live on the earth for 33 years, never commit one sin. His eyes must never see what they should not see. His feet must never walk where they should not walk. His hands should never touch that which they should not touch. His mind should never think what it should not think. His ears should never hear what they should not hear. He must feel full and fulfill the law and never sin. My son Jesus must go to the earth, and he must live for 33 homesick years away from the Father. And he must go to Calvary. and on Calvary be crucified, nailed to a cross. And on that cross he must have all the sins, your sins, recorded and nailed to that cross and charged to him. And your record, I'm saying your sinful record, can be was placed on Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. And then God says, the Father says, after you've done that, you must then rise from the dead after 3 days and three nights, and then you must take your blood and take it to heaven and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. So Jesus goes to the Father. We've got to get you back. We've got to get Absalom back to the king. Thank God for Joab. Without Joab, Absalom would never have gotten back to the king. And without Jesus, you'll never get back to the king. So Jesus leaves heaven and fellowship with the Father and comes to earth, born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, born of a Jewish maid, reared in a Jewish home in the carpenter shop, lived a perfect life, wrongly betrayed and wrongly tried and wrongly convicted, led up Golgotha's mountain to a cross. There on that cross, your sins were charged to his record. And God the Father looked down and saw Jesus on that cross and saw your sins charged to his record. And Jesus paid the penalty in full for all of your sins. And then they put him in Joseph's tomb for 3 days and three nights. After 3 days and three nights, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain to live forever with his saints to reign. When he arose, he took his own blood from Calvary and took that blood to the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkled that blood right in the presence of the Father. And says, Father, have I done all you asked me to do? And the Father says, yes, you have. And Jesus shouted, it is finished! What does that mean? What did Joab do when Absalom had sinned and run from David? Joab first went to the king and met the king's demand. Then he went to Absalom and told him about the king's demands. Now Jesus goes to the Father and satisfies the Father. His justice is satisfied. Listen to me. That's why you can join every church you want to join, die and go to hell, because church joining doesn't satisfy the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God and doesn't pay for your sins. And your good works won't satisfy him. And your denomination won't satisfy him. And your communion won't satisfy him. And your baby sprinkling won't satisfy him. And your confirmation won't satisfy him. And your Lord's Supper won't satisfy him. And your sacraments won't satisfy him. And your preacher won't satisfy him. And your church joining won't satisfy him. And your priest won't satisfy him. And your pope won't satisfy him. I'm saying God the Father was only satisfied when Jesus paid the penalty and sprinkled the blood before the Father and said, it is finished. And then Jesus said, I've got something else to do. Like Joab came to the king, I've got to go over here to Absalom. I've got to go over here to fallen man and say to him, and here you stand this morning, the price has been paid. The Father's been satisfied. Absalom said several times, you read that passage again, Absalom said, I want to see the face of my Father. I want to see the face of my Father. And everybody in this room this morning who's not saved, down in your heart, you want to see the face of your Father. I come to God, Jesus comes. He's already been to the Father. The Father said, okay, I'll take him back if he comes, but only on one condition. He's got to come through the blood of Christ. And so I come this morning. Jesus comes and says to you, and here you stand right here this morning, I've talked to the king. The king will take you back. I got some wonderful news for you. You say, what have I got to do? Just come. That's all. You just come to the king. But don't I have to get baptized? Just come to the king.
But don't have to join the church, just come to the King. Don't have to turn over a new leaf, you just come to the King. Don't have to take the Holy Sacrament, just come to the King. And so Jesus comes over here to the Father and says, Father, if he comes back, would you take him because of me? And here he comes back. But now, how does he get back? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Are you willing to trust me as your way back to the Father? Now, here you are this morning. Here you are this morning. Fellowship with the Father, made for the fellowship with the Father, but you sinned against God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on them the iniquity of us all. And Jesus, for your sake, comes to the Father and says, Father, would you take him back? And the Father says, on one condition, you go to the earth and live and die and rise again and bring your blood and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And then I'll take him back. I come over here and say to you, I've got good news for you. Hey, the Father wants you back. He'll take you back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The Father wants you back this morning. All you got to do is come through Jesus and go back to the Father. Now, there are only four things he had to know. There are four things that Absalom realized. First thing Absalom realized, he had sinned. He had murdered the king's daughter. And you murdered the king's son. He knew he had sinned. The second thing he knew that this sin would separate him from the king. Third thing he knew, a way back had been provided for him. And the fourth thing, if he had just come back that way, he'd be accepted back. There are four things you've got to know to go to heaven when you die. Number one, you've got to know that you're a sinner. If you walked the aisle and joined the church one day and didn't realize that you were a sinner, you didn't get saved. It is absolutely necessary for you to know that you're a sinner. To get saved means you were saved from something. You were lost and you get saved from something. You didn't get saved because you let Jesus come into your heart. You got saved when you realized that you were a sinner. And as you were as a sinner, you were under the condemnation of Almighty God. Ask a question. The day you walked the aisle, did you know that you were a sinner? Did you come to settle the sin question? I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to choir members. I'm talking to staff members. I'm talking to professors in college. I'm talking to teachers in Christian school. I'm talking to students in a Christian college. I'm talking to young people in Christian schools. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I ask you a question this morning. When you walked down the aisle to make your profession of faith, did you know you were a sinner? If you did not know you were a sinner, then you didn't get saved. The first thing you've got to know is that you're a sinner. Second thing you've got to know is that you're under the condemnation of God because you're a sinner. The third thing you've got to know is that Jesus Christ has made a way back. And the fourth thing you've got to know is all you got to do is come back. All you got to do is come back. Out of my darkness, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy gladness, mercy, and light, Jesus, I come. That's all you've got to do. I don't care what the priest says, what the rabbi says, what the liberal says. I'm interested in what the king says. And the king's got to be satisfied. The only thing that satisfies the holiness and justice of the king is what Jesus did for you on the cross. Now listen carefully. I ask you a question. Do you know if you died today that you'd go to heaven? You better settle this matter. Do you know if you died today you'd go to heaven? In this simple little story of Absalom and David and Joab, the gospel is so beautifully presented. Absalom sinned. He was separated from the Father, from the King. He wants to come back. He does not know the king will accept him back. The king wants him back. Does not know that Absalom will come back. Enter Joab. Joab wants Absalom and his father reunited. And Joab goes to the father and says, Your Highness, Father, King, is there any way you can accept Absalom back? And the father says, I'll take him. He rushes over to Absalom and says, Absalom, I've got some good news for you. The king wants you back. Everything's been prepared. The same thing is true about you this morning. You were in fellowship with the king until you sinned and knew you sinned. And when you sinned, you were alienated from God Almighty, and you'll be alienated from God and separated from God for eternity unless you get back to the king. But thank God, just as Joab went to the king, even so Jesus went to the Heavenly Father and said, Father, I love my people. I don't want them to go to hell. And the Heavenly Father says, I'll take them back if my conditions are met. Well, what are your conditions? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin must be paid for. Sin, it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wage of sin is death. Jesus pays the penalty, comes back to the Father, says, Now will you take him back? And the Father says, Yes, I will. And I come this morning to you, and I say, I've got some wonderful news for you. The King wants you back this morning. He wants you back. It's hard for me to understand why anybody would have to beg you to come back. I mean, here's a hell over here and a heaven over there, and you say, don't pressure me. Oh, phooey, hogwash, poppycock, foolishness. You're an idiot. I'm saying, here's heaven. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Come to the King. That's all you've got to do. Come to the King. Charlotte Elliott wanted to be saved. She went to the pastor. The pastor told her how, and she said, I don't understand it. The pastor used another illustration and tried to tell her how to be saved. And she said, she didn't understand it. Charlotte didn't understand it. Came back again. The pastor explained it, and still Charlotte Elliott didn't understand it. And finally the pastor said, Come to Jesus. And she said, How do I come to Jesus? And the pastor shouted, Come just as you are. Charlotte Elliott picked up a pen and wrote, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark plot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Why don't you take this little oasis away from home? Why don't you take this little vacation we have here at the Civic Center away from our home church for a Sunday? Why don't you take it to look square in the eye at your eternity? Why don't you look at your own self and say, Was there a time in my life when I realized I was a sinner and I was lost and separated from God? But Jesus came and lived and died and shed His blood and rose again and took His blood to heaven and paid the penalty for my sins. And I'm going to realize this morning I'm a sinner and I'm lost, and Jesus made it possible for me to get back to the King. And I promise you, you can walk out those doors and get in your car and drive home today reunited with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have you ever done it? Oh, I didn't say, have you ever joined a church? Have you ever done this? I didn't say, have you ever been confirmed? I said, have you done this? I didn't say, have you ever been baptized or been sprinkled as a baby? I said, have you done this? If right where you are, right now, you'll realize you're a sinner and realize that you owe a debt on sin that'll take you to hell forever, and realize that Jesus Christ has been to the Father, found the Father's conditions, met those conditions, satisfied them, gone back to the Father, and the Father sends Him to tell you that now He'll take you back. And all you've got to do, this is an aisle here this morning, we'll say. This is the altar. On the basis, dear sinner, that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, the Father will take you back. I'm going to sing, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And all you got to do is come to the Father by me. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood. And the Father took him back. And now he's a child of God to go to heaven forever. sins forgiven, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, his sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. You say, preacher, is it that easy? Well, you make it too easy. I didn't make it. God made it. I'm just announcing it. Now that aisle right there, or that aisle there, or that aisle there, you walk down that aisle this morning, and you do so to come back to the King by trusting in Jesus Christ. You'll walk out whatever door you walk out with your name in heaven, your sins forgiven, and you'll be God's child forever and ever and ever. No one leaving, no one moving. Would you bow your heads, please?